It's testimony is good. Sometimes kind of back off thinking several things. Some of the things that I'll share, some have heard probably numerous times. Other things, I'm sure you haven't. But I want it to be all about God's faithfulness. I've been, maybe it's as you get older, you start looking back and you see what God did in you. You never saw that what he was doing, but you look back and you see it. And I, from that song again, if God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, he would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. And I, maybe this is more for me, but maybe there's some things that you can pick up that God has shown me along the way that I'm so appreciative of. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so that's kind of instruction from the word. Let me just ask God to direct in this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your work of grace in my own life. And I just choose to testify of your faithfulness, of doing things that I had no idea at the time why you were doing them, how you were doing them. But I thank you that you are a faithful God. And so I just want this to honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been picking out verses for after we're finished with these present verses about our walk, about God's faithfulness. And one of the verses is from Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And that's quite a promise, praise God. So as I've been thinking about that, first of all, have to think about ancestrally. And I've told you before, I'm very concerned to somehow be involved in passing the faith on. I've tried to do it with our grandchildren. I'm trying to do something now with the great-grandchildren that obviously somebody else is going to have to pick it up. But I've got a bunch of Bibles already with a message to them about my salvation and how I accepted Christ at 9. And telling them what I prayed and trust that they will trust Jesus, and because I want to meet him in heaven one day. I don't know a lot about my generations. I have heard that my mom's mom, and I've shared that she and her husband, as young people, came from Sweden. I think they were on the same boat, maybe, but somewhere down the line they got married. But anyway, the word is that she asked God that all of her grandchildren would trust Christ as Savior. And I think it's very important to pray into the future with our generations. As far as I know, she met one grandchild. Both of those grandparents died at quite a young age. But I praise God for that. I praise the Lord for for her prayer. I do think, I've never discussed this with my mom, but I think when I was born, she probably had great concerns. 2 years before me, a brother Edward was born, and he died after several days, I think, from internal bleeding. Both Mary and I didn't know her then, of course, but both of us had some health problems early on. We both battled pneumonia. And I would say also that before I accepted Christ, I battled fear. I remember being scared of fire drills at school and storms and all that sort of thing. But I thank the Lord after I came to know him that he took the fear away. So I missed I missed a year of kindergarten. It's what threw Roberta and me together in the same year, but because of pneumonia. my doctor, when I was in high school, I met him, we were going into this place to get an ice cream cone. And he said, "You still alive?" I said, "I didn't think you were going to live." So maybe it's worse than I thought. The thing that I appreciate, and I don't understand it, but from early on, God gave me a spiritual hunger. And I've told this before, but somehow I found on our old shortwave radio, HCJB, that was declaring the gospel from Ecuador, from Quito. And I would listen to that by the hour. I would suspect I was maybe around 7. Now my brother, he's a very special guy, ended up being a missionary in Hong Kong for decades, but he would listen to baseball games. And I was listening to the gospel on HCJB. I was just soaking it in. And I know that I listened to Back to the Bible from Lincoln, Nebraska, being broadcast from Ecuador. Lincoln, Nebraska wasn't that far away, but anyway, I praise God for him helping me find that. And I heard enough that by the age of 9, I was fearing hell. I'd heard enough about it. And so I know that my mom was instrumental in seeing to it that we would go and hear the gospel. Went to Sioux City, Iowa. Dr. Bob Cook was the messenger, and sharing, inviting anybody that wanted to receive Christ to come forward. And I distinctly remembering my thought, there's a lot of people here. I don't know if my folks will even find me, but I don't care. I'm going to go and receive Christ. And I know I was the first one up there, the auditorium there in Sioux City, Iowa. And it ended up that Roberta also came and accepted the Lord. My parents came, and they earlier, when the church that they were attending was more of a gospel church, they'd accepted Christ, but that had kind of all, it was not preaching the gospel at the time that we were growing up. But I remember backstage afterward, there was a lady helped me to pray and led me in a prayer and to accept the Lord. And I will say that I've, since that day, I didn't battle doubt. A lot of people battle doubts, but I was so grateful to know that Christ was my Savior. But it was very special because the speaker and my parents and Roberta and I, my brother was not along with us that night, we're all in a circle praying afterward. And it was a turn of events in our family, for then they left that church and we found a church that was preaching the gospel, and that was very special for our family. We then periodically would go to a place called Okoboji, Iowa, northern part of Iowa. Dr. R.R. Brown from Omaha would hold a conference a couple weeks in the summer, and that was significant. I remember being able to be baptized in Lake Okoboji 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was ice cold. I remember that. It was a terrible cold baptism, but I praise the Lord. there was a lady that came. Now this, I probably was in high school by this time, but she had lost her family. They were on the mission field, and I cannot remember for sure which nation they were in, but I think they were with the Christian Missionary Alliance. And she gave an invitation. I think I have it in a little testament somewhere, but I couldn't find it. I written down of asking young people to come that would give their life to serve the Lord. And the thing I remember about that is that she talked and prayed with a strong voice, and tears were just running down her face. I thought, there's something really has happened in her life to be able to have that kind of emotion and still be able to carry on and talk and pray with us. But that was a special time. And as I told the Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. As a junior in high school, and this is kind of, we had just moved, and there's a little school that Roberta attended, but I decided I needed to go to this bigger town because I wanted to take some courses like chemistry and things like that, which weren't being offered. And I found out, I know that the Lord led me on that because I ended up deciding I wanted to go to Wheaton College. And I'll tell you how that came about. But and if I'd gone to the other school, I found out I wouldn't have been accepted because I needed some of those courses. But anyway, in that junior year, I read Shadow of the Almighty, really a testimony of Jim Elliot. And I was taken with the matter of his experience at Wheaton College. Lived in Oregon, and he would take the train across. And one of the things that always I appreciated about him, he said, we were driving, the train was going through the mountains, and I was just worshiping the Lord, the beauty of the mountains and the holiness. And I look back, and people are bored. Some of them are playing cards. And he said, we're in the middle of beauty. Anyway, he had quite a walk with the Lord. And as you know, the Lord took him very early. But the thing that I want to say about God's leading and his faithfulness is, I had good parents, but my parents were not trying to figure out for me what I should do. some of our grandchildren now, they're taking their kids around to different schools and trying to figure out where they should go to school. We did some of that with our own children, especially Calvary Bible College. But I didn't have any direction. But I read about Jim Elliot, I applied to Wheaton, and I went to Wheaton. And that was a super, super blessing. There's a lot of things there that were very special. I only attended it for a year and a half. but just the acquaintance with V. Raymond Edmond was, and at the time, the president, and many of the courses, Dr. Angeline Brandt was the math teacher that gave me a love for mathematics. But anyway, what I wanted to say about that, well, the chapels there were something else. Marge Saint brought Dayuma, that was a convert from the Aucca Indians, and brought her to chapel. And I thought, what an amazing thing that that lady in Stone Age tribe there would get on a plane and come to, and get in front of a crowd of a couple thousand students. Anyway, it was a good experience. And I've shared this, but I want to share it again, that partway into that year, I found out, I didn't know that at the time, but the house that I lived in with about 15 guys, I found out most of them just did a lot of bragging, that they were such outstanding students, and so many of them ended up at 9 weeks being on probation or something. But anyway, I was coming back from downtown Chicago with the commuter train, and the reason, I think, my brother and wife were in northern Chicago getting ready to go to the mission field in Hong Kong. And I was discouraged by then. Both Mary and I had I didn't know that, or I didn't know her then. But we had a real problem with homesickness. And that can happen when you really love your home. Anyway, I didn't know the difference. They had a smoker car and a no-smoking car, and I got on the smoker car because I didn't know the difference. And I remember what my thoughts were. My thoughts were, I thought God led me here, but I wonder, did I just make that up? I read about Jim Elliot. I wanted to go here. I was concerned how I was doing. In fact, I thought, you know, farming looks pretty good to me right now. And just wondering, if I go back and farm? And a fellow came and sat down beside me. And it just began to visit with me. And it only can be that God was leading him. He asked, where are you getting off? I said, I'm getting off at Wheaton. Why are you getting off at Wheaton? I started telling him about Jim Elliot. And when I just love to tell people about Jim Elliot's life and how it had challenged me. And he let me go on quite a while. And they said, that's interesting because he married my sister. It was Dr. Howard. And he said, in fact, I think it's Dave, I think. And he said, in fact, Jim's mom and dad are at my home right now, and I'd like to take you there so you can tell them your story about what Jim meant to you. And that was such a blessing. It was like the Lord said, I know where you're at. Just settle down and just keep following me. I just appreciate so much God using him to encourage me at that particular point. In the second year, and I do not know why, it had to be God, but it might have been because of finances. And again, why I chose the University of South Dakota, other than it was only 60 miles from my home. And so I applied. And I transferred from Wheaton to the University of South Dakota in the middle of that year. And it was a shock to my soul. They put me in a room with a fellow that had all kinds of pinups on the walls. At the dining hall, I would bow my head and pray, and then when I was finished, they said, did you go to sleep? And there was still quite a dress code at Wheaton. Things were very, very different in that semester, but God did some very special things in those last 2 years. And I found out later that there was a number of navigators, that had a meeting in Sioux City, and one of them was weeping, praying that God would do something at the University of South Dakota. Well, that next year, somehow I got hooked up with Darrell Anderson. He became my roommate the last 2 years, a wonderful Christian guy. Some others transferred in, and we started what we called University Christian Fellowship. And there were, I would say, in those 2 years, there was probably a student a week that was being saved from students testifying to other students and so forth. But one of the special lessons that I learned there, am I getting ahead of myself? No, it was concerning prayer. And I didn't know that this was going on. We started this University Christian Fellowship, and they put me in charge of that. And a chemistry professor, Dr. Howard Coker, which I really didn't know him, but he began to pray for me every day. I found that out later. And the day came toward the end of that year that we were choosing somebody else to be president the next year. And I found out that he stopped praying for me that day and started praying for this other person. And I knew to the day something happened. I was not being buoyed along like I had been before. And what that did for me has helped me to understand the value of intercessory prayer. That it does make a difference in the life of the people you're praying for. And I can testify to that. For quite a while, I had no idea what had changed. But God helped me learn that, and it was really a lesson on prayer and the value of it. Francis Grubbs was at the University of South Dakota working on his master's. He was also, if you know anything about him, he'd always do about three things at the same time. He was filling in a church there as well. And I got to know him. And he said, you know, you ought to think about coming to Hutchinson because I'm going to be in charge of the Christian school down there. And we've got some gals that you might be interested in. And anyway, I said, I'm not interested in teaching, which at that time I was not. But anyway, just backing up, my connection with being here runs through the University of South Dakota. I do not remember why I made the decision to go from Wheaton to there. There were good things that happened, like I say, and kids being saved and good fellowship. But the critical thing was getting to know this man. And I've maybe shared a couple other things. I probably met my first multiple person there, and I had no idea what that would be even, but I had a German class. I'll just share this because it's kind of interesting. he grew up in, I think it was Poland or somewhere over there, and the way they disciplined in the classes, they would lick them or spank them right in front of the class. He had a rough bringing up, of course. I had an opportunity. He wanted to talk to me about my quiz or test one day, and I shared my faith with him. From that day on, my name in class was Nearer, Nearer, My God, to Thee, every time he called on me. seemed very godless. But one day he preached an evangelical sermon, How to Be Saved. Blew my mind. Something had to have happened to him. And I, may as well see him in heaven, but that was one of the interesting things in University of South Dakota. What he did then, I took German my junior year, my senior year, and I was ready for graduation. He failed me. And I went, said, can I see the test? Nope, you can't see the test. Anyway, I don't know what what God spared me from as I went back to school that summer so I could graduate and go on to seminary. But I had a friend that would go and spend time with him drinking together. And he said, you know that, me. He said, I don't know why I failed him. Anyway, I suspect that there's something that God spared me from that summer. And in any way, of course, I've forgiven him and I moved on. so I went on to seminary, and about Christmas time, teaching at Central Christian that he had talked about looked kind of interesting. So I gave him a call. I said, do you still need a teacher? Greek was kind of heavy, and I just didn't know for sure what God was going to do with my life. And he said, no, I don't need a teacher now. Okay. So it was the summer of, it was in July 66 that I got a call from him and from Francis Grubbs, Mr. Grubbs. He said, you want to come and teach math and Bible? And I want to tell you why that opened up. Many of you know Kathy. I guess it's all right to say. Anyway, this gal's father was the math teacher, and Mr. Grubbs was now the administrator, and he was requiring that they would sign a contract. And this math teacher had been there quite a while. I'm not going to sign a contract. So all of a sudden, he's got to have a math teacher. Told him I'd pray about it, and ran across, not that I go looking in a Bible for a verse and pick it out for leading, but I appreciated in Ezekiel 3:22, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will talk with you. And I kind of latched on to that. If God has something to say to me, so I called him back, and and I said I'd be glad to come. So, never been to Hutchison before, and part of what is going on with me, I think every time we come back from Lee's Summit and come down 61, I sort of reflect on going back to those days, and I had no idea what was ahead, and didn't know that he would put me in the boys' dorm and be a dorm dad, and all the things that would happen there. So I sort of reminisce about that. But anyway, I found my way over to 8th and Chemical and drove up, and there sat this young lady on the front steps. And it was Mary. And I back up. As a young person in high school, I think I had heard Billy Graham speak to his daughter when she asked, does God know who I'm going to marry someday? And I said, well, God knows all things. Let's just stop and pray for him right now. And something clicked with me, and I began to do that over the years. If I dated or some, I kept that person out of it, but I wanted to pray for the person that would someday. I'd probably been there several weeks, and I sort of was interested in this girl, and asked if I could come. She'd go home on the weekends to Salina Bible Church, and so I went there, and I sat there in Salina Bible Church about two-thirds of the way back, and I visualized what our wedding would be like. I'll be coming out of this door, and I'll be, which is, seemed very strange to me, but anyway, when we did get married there, it was like I had thought about it. And I thought back to, yeah, I remember when I was sitting back there. But it became pretty clear very soon that this was the same person that I'd been praying for. And so I, at the end of that school year, Mr. Grubbs married us, and I came to Hutchison. I taught at Central Christian for a number of years, but I'll never forget the morning that I think it was the administrator said, you know, they had me speak over at Berean Baptist Church last Sunday, and they want somebody again. Would you go over there? And I said, okay, I'll be glad to. I think at that time we were going on Sunday mornings over to Oakwood Villa and having a little church service with the residents there. So yeah, I'll go do it. And Monday morning, a couple of the men from the church here came to our door and said, would you come back on Wednesday night? I said, okay, and I'm still here. Anyway, I just reviewing several things in the way along the line just had to be orchestrated of the Lord. For me to cross paths with Francis Grubbs and the way ahead there and some of the special things that God's done along the way, I just praise him for his faithfulness, that he knows what he intends, he knows what to get done in our lives. And things along the way may not make sense, but as you look back, and that's why I appreciate John W. Peterson's words, that if we there review the winding paths of earth we knew, it'll be clear, Jesus led me all the way. And I just want to thank God for his faithfulness, and of course there's a whole story that goes from that point on, and most of you here know a lot about it. But I'm grateful for God's faithfulness, and so you can trust him in the way ahead. He knows what he's doing in our lives. I'll have a word of prayer, and then if you have prayer requests. Father, I know I've just kind of shared here again the path and direction along the way. Thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I'm not trying to indicate that I was always right or whatever, but you did lead, and I thank you for that. Thank you for leading me to the girl that I was praying for a number of years, many years. And thank you for the blessing that's been. Above all, Lord, I just want to lift up your faithfulness, your leading, your direction, and that you know what you're doing. And I give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.